There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is Hardwood Handicappers, VSiN's premier NBA betting podcast. Here are your hosts, Jonathan Von Tobel and Kelly Bidlin.
What's up, folks? Welcome in. Late week edition, Hardwood Handicappers. You know the deal. Kelly Bidlin alongside. We have a good show on tap today. Some ridiculous rookies, troublesome trends to talk about. A lot to get to. Even though we just talked, right, about a couple of days ago, a lot transpires over the course of a couple of days. We haven't talked to Kelly for a week either. So get his thoughts on the week that has transpired since we talked to him last Thursday. But we begin every show like we always do, some of the big news around the league.
Hardwood headlines.
First up, Damian Lillard, Kelly, exits the loss to Miami the other night. He gets a strained calf. He's unlikely to play Houston on Friday. So I wanted to point this out for a couple of reasons. The first of which is, I'm really interested to see what the betting market does, and I think this is a really good example of it, right? If you read, and I sent you in the rundown, I sent you the story, right? If you read the story, in there it says very specifically that he's not planning on playing on Friday. It's like, it's stated very plainly. What I'm going to be interested to see is if the market lists him as questionable as opposed to, like, going forward, if the injury report, if he's listed as questionable as you move forward, because we'll see the market react in odd ways, despite the fact that the information's out there. So it's a good example of tracking injury reports. It's also a good example of reading between the lines or just reading what some of these guys are saying, because when it comes to their availability, a lot of the times they'll just tell you the day before if you're paying attention.
Yeah, absolutely. The I'm actually surprised to see even unlikely to play, because some of the reports I saw flying around today was he'd be out at least 1 week. Yeah. So I guess I don't even know what's so questionable about it, but yeah, I mean, look, it's Damian Lillard. I think there's, with what the state of that franchise is right now, there's absolutely no reason to rush him back whatsoever, right? I mean, it's still beginning of the season. Take all the time you need. Make sure you're healthy before you come back here.
The other reason I want to bring this up, did you bet Portland over?
No, I didn't. I just think that when we talked a couple weeks ago before the season about some of the futures and stuff. They're just a team I think I'm higher on than most, but no, I didn't make any bets on them. I think they will be one of those teams that will be hanging around, that maybe that 8 seed or, you know, around the play-in tournament area. I think they're going to be right there again this year. I think you and I discussed that a bit, and, I don't know what they're doing this year. You know what I mean? It's one of those, The team's not good enough, they're going to push for a championship. But it's just good enough to, take you out of that area and get one of those top guys in the draft.
Yeah, there was a wide range, like a wide spectrum of I thought that they could land within, right, for the season. I think I said this the other day when somebody asked me about it. If you were to tell me right now that either Portland was competing for the Victor Wembanyama stakes, right, for a top pick, or you were telling me that they were competing for like the sixth seed in the West. Not either outcome, they wouldn't surprise me, right? Like that, I think that would be like the thing with me when it comes to Portland. And I texted this.
Well, I was going to say, when we talked about, you know, just these potential tanking scenarios for Wembanyama, this is one that I've kind of been repeating over and over again, is don't count out teams like this that might have that one star player or something that you think is a decent team, that if somehow he suffers an injury early in the season, and, you know, yes, I don't think we expect Dame to miss too much time here, but if, you know, if this was a more extended period of time injury, absolutely, these are the teams that you know, be on a lookout for, that could go into the tank pretty early on.
Yep. Now, overnight lines are starting to appear here. And by the way, he is officially listed as out. So I didn't, my theory is not going to get tested when it comes to the market. But I will say this, some overnight lines are popping up and Portland is showing as a 6-point favorite. I refreshed it. So now it's down to 5. Either way, you'll be interested to see what the market does here, because I have bet on the Rockets their last two games, both against the Jazz. Rockets aren't terrible. And Portland, right? Well, we could talk about that momentarily, because that second game, I thought that was wild. I still think I was on the right side. Portland, without Damian Lillard on the floor, a 91 offensive rating so far in this early season. And with Anthony Simons on the floor without Damian Lillard, an offensive rating of 102.6. So the picture I'm painting here is, this Portland team is not good offensively, as we have seen without Damian Lillard. I texted Mitch when the injury happened, when I was watching the game, that I was like, ooh, I think Portland might be a bet against here as we move forward until Damian Lillard's going to come back, because their offense kind of stinks. So tomorrow is a test of that theory, because in a short sample size, it has not been great. So you've been on the we'll divert really quickly. You've been on the Houston Rockets. I don't think it's really pro-Rockets, right? Or at least my angle was. It was anti-Jazz.
Not at all. Anti-Jazz. Yeah, anti-Jazz. I did the same thing you did. I bet them both the last two games. Got the bad number last game, took 7.5. So, yeah.
See, I was like, there's no way the market's going to get any higher than this.
I thought so, too. You know what? I think that was the day we had you on a numbers game, and we had 7. And I had a feeling it might go to 7.5, but I thought it was going to hit resistance there. And I think I saw Circa get up to 8.5. I don't know if that's the most common number it closed at, but oh man, it was tough. Jinxie, I know you didn't have this planned for the show, but you know, this is where you talk about key numbers in the NBA, and it's you shouldn't be going buying points or buying half points or anything like that, but recognize that you get upwards near 25% of the time games land in between 5 and 8. That was a good example last night of when you're playing the free throw game. This is what you see. This is what happens. And it puts yourself in a situation as an NBA handicapper and a bettor that it's just you're relying on free throws to go your right way at the end. And, they didn't really go that way the other night for us. And you also, one of the hardest things to handicap in the NBA, unlike college, is how hard is this team going to try at the end of a game when they know they're going to lose, right? Like, you get those college kids that are fouling to the last second, and you're like, come on, man, you're down 9. Like, just give it up. Give it up. Like, the Rockets were kind of doing that the other night, too. You're like, oh, man, stop fouling. Well, please stop fouling.
At least, see, for me, what drives me nuts, and this happens in the NBA a lot, is what teams will do is, and I thought the Rockets were going to do it last night, because they were down by, I think, 6 with about 24 seconds left when the foul game started. And what you'll see teams do a lot is foul in that instance and then not even try the possession afterwards, right? Like, they'll just get the ball and dribble it out. And it's like, why? Why did you foul if you weren't going to try to then subsequently score when you got the ball back? That's what drove me nuts. But I was surprised. And I would – look, I'll make the bet every time. And obviously, like you said, it wasn't even just Circa. Westgate got to 8.5 as well. And those two, for people who are listening as well, if you don't have like a full screen with like some of the global odds in front of you, if you want a good idea of where some of the respected global shops are at, Circa and Westgate will do a pretty good job, at least if I've noticed in the NBA market, of kind of mirroring where those respected numbers are. So you get an idea, I think, at least of where the market is going to go when you track shops like that. But yeah, those two both got to 8.5, and I was very surprised by that. But I would do it again, baby. I would do it again. Although
that's right.
The Rockets were down by, I think, 19 and came storming back. So That and we got there.
That's also we cannot finish that without stating that we also probably had no business of even having a chance at the bet. But yeah.
All right, a couple more headlines to get to really quickly. We'll lump these two together because they're kind of boring and not the biggest, but worth noting. First of which is Orlando Magic are not going to have Cole Anthony for a while. It's an oblique injury for Anthony. It's going to keep him out here for a little bit. I do think this is important, though, Kelly, because one, the Magic are kind of like, sexy is not the right term, but there were a lot of sharper basketball minds who were excited about the Magic. They were, I think, a little bit of a sexy selection by the sharp market at the beginning of the season. We're still at the beginning of the season. But this backcourt, dude, we're talking now, Markelle Fultz was already out. Jalen Suggs was already out. Gary Harris was already out. Now Cole Anthony's out indefinitely for Orlando. This is a super talented front court, and we're going to talk about Paolo Banchero a little bit later in the show when we do our first rookie report. But holy smokes, like who they're having play guard at this point, it's going to be a mixture of Terrence Ross, RJ Hampton, Kevon Harris. It's a nightmare for them at guard.
It just amazes me when you get what are they 5 games into the season, that's where they are, right? And you've got these kind of injuries, like it's incredible. This was a team I wasn't as high on as some other people were heading into the season, and I heard it too, you know, from a lot of guys that I respect, definitely higher on this Magic team. I don't want to say I'm low on them either. They got a few nice pieces, a few pieces you gotta love. It's just that overall power rating, I just don't have nearly as high as some other teams.
Them and Detroit were going to be they kind of went hand in hand together because they were kind of similar teams, like on a similar trajectory.
Yes, and Detroit, I was higher on Detroit heading into the year. I think that's the great comparison because I feel like I heard a lot of guys on one or the other, and it was I was definitely higher on the Pistons than the Magic ended.
And the Pistons kind of stink on defense. Washington Wizards this isn't the biggest loss of the world, but also worth noting, DeLon Wright out with a hamstring injury. He's going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks. DeLon Wright is a pretty solid player for him. DeLon Wright, of course, is one of their primary backup guards, and he's been a solid defender. And when he's on the floor, their defense gets better. Overall, when he's out there on the floor, 103.8, their defensive rating. It ranks among the 92nd percentile of qualified lineups. So he has a positive impact for this Washington Wizards team. So when they get to the bench, we'll see exactly what's going to happen. But right now, DeLon Wright, just you're not going to adjust any power ratings. But for those who are curious, very much wanted to mention that for you. But I wanted to get your thoughts on this. You got something here?
I was just going to say, they're like a team like the Blazers, right? They're going to play just well enough this year to, most likely hurt their chances a lot in the lottery or not even in the lottery.
Yeah, well, it's weird. So, like, if you read a lot of stuff out of Washington and you understand, by the way, I at one point had a really solid, I don't know if you know this, Kelly, but Ted Leonsis at one point, the owner of the Washington Wizards and other franchises out there in our nation's capital, was a fan of yours truly, Jonathan Von Tobel, because I would do hits during arena football games, and one of them was the Washington Valor, the arena football team I think that he owns. And so, like, they really liked the sports betting stuff. And I met his son one time, like, they came out to the studio, and I didn't get to meet Ted, but I got to meet his son. And he was like, my dad loves it. It's great. Awesome. I was like, tell Ted, I said, what's up? And tell him to look me up when he gets out here. Nothing ever came of that.
You gotta love the random compliments and fans that we get in this business. It's great. Like that's a great story. That's a great story from your random arena league hits that you're talking about. Right. That's awesome.
It's absolutely hilarious. All right, now I think this last headline is definitely worth building on a little bit. This is from Ryan Butler, sports betting legislation, stocks, and other gaming news for iGaming Next. I thought this kind of went like with not a lot of hoopla, and maybe I'm just kind of a nerd and I kind of stuck to this one. FanDuel is going to become the first U.S. sports book to receive official live NBA player tracking data from Sport Radar, Butler reports. Two companies announced that earlier. It's going to be new individual player props and single game parlay betting options when the deal begins next season. So what this means, I think at least, and I tweeted about this, and again, I got like one like because nobody cares about that stuff. So the NBA has, if I always say this, because I'm a big fan of cleaning the glass, right? It's only five bucks a month, good statistical website for tracking data and, you know, impactful numbers for guys on and off the court, all sort of things. Go ahead.
We both use it a ton. We both use it a ton when it comes to our NBA handicap. Great site.
But, if you don't want to pay for it, then I think the next best thing is the NBA's own stats. Like the stats for the NBA that they keep on their own website, it's amazing. It is, out of all of the major leagues, I would say, they have the best free like league run site in terms of statistics I've seen. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, one of the things they have, it's NBA and then the PGA Tour to me. I'm saying,
oh yeah,
like,
yep.
those two are so far above like any other pro league in my opinion.
And so what they have is player tracking data, and among that is a lot of stuff. And I'm not sure what they'll use as props, but the first like tangible thing that I thought of immediately, they track catch and shoot attempts. And I think that this would open the door now for FanDuel to offer stuff like, and I think this would be interesting markets to put up, like over under catch and shoot 3-point attempts or 3-point mix for Mike Conley in a game, for example, or, you know, over under catch and shoot Ja Morant catch and shoot 3-point attempts, or just overall attempts, right? Like you can track, they have tracks for drives to the basket, over under drives to the basket for Ja Morant in a single game. It opens the door for those sort of props. And I'm just really curious, like what FanDuel does in terms of offering those things, how popular they actually become, and how intricate they can get. Because like I said, there is a tangible number for all of these things that we're talking about. It's Kelly, they track passes and deflections on the NBA website. It is a number that you can go and grab. And like those are the kind of things, like, I would be amazed to see for a game, Boston Celtics over under, you know, 300, I don't know, for a game, I can't think off the top of my head, but like 302 passes, you know, for the game, like you could start to offer these things. But I do wonder what they will start to like sift through and start to offer, because I think you're going to start to see more stuff like this with the steal.
Yeah, James Harden dribbles. Yeah, we can bet on over under that. Yeah, that'll be fun. It is very interesting, and you're right. I'm sure it's not a note anybody's going to care about until it becomes available. But we don't. Right. One thing we know already is the same game parlay handles are ridiculous across the rest of the country. We don't get to do it in Nevada, you know, because it's no fun Nevada. But you know, the same game parlays are already ridiculous. So more options that you can add into those. You know, as bettors, right? The more things we can bet, the better for us, right? It's more ways for us to be able to attack a game in a certain way if we see an edge in, you know, the way the game's going to go. So I think it's huge for us as bettors. And I'm curious to see how it plays. I'm also curious if it means more access to in-game player props, right? Like that's something that, you know, we've seen pop up in the past couple of years, but it's hard to, we talk about, you know, hard enough jumping in live in a game on a side or a total and picking the right time to do that. And player props, you know, you'll see these books post them, but they, you know, they're blinking on and off and on and off so quickly because they're scared of the exposure they could obviously get on them. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what this does bring.
According to, and this is like I said, go to NBA stats, NBA.com/stats/players, and you can go to the tracking subcategory. For example, Aaron Gordon through five games has run 11,281.4 feet. Like that's the stuff they track. So I wish that they would do stuff like this. I think it would be absolutely hilarious. Average, can you imagine? Like, because people already nowadays, Kelly, complain about like, oh, that was a rebound. You should have counted that as a rebound. That's ridiculous. I want a refund. You should pay out my ticket. Can you imagine if like a year, because this doesn't kick in until next year. Like next year, FanDuel is going to get angry tweets about, that was 7 post touches, not 6. Right. What's going on here? I bet over this.
Oh, man. No, you're totally right. I'm just like, I'm looking through some of them now. You're absolutely right. It's like the fast break, you know, fast break points, you know, if you're betting that prop or something, and it's like, okay, well, did the defender get back just enough for it not to be counted as a fast break point or something like that? You're right. This is, I think it's going to lead to a lot more betting options, but yeah, people will probably be a lot more upset about how things get counted because they're just noticing it now for the first time now that they have money on it.
Oh yeah, baby. All right, we'll take our break here. On the other side, let's take a look at some of the young guns out in the league and what they've done up to this point with our first rookie report of the season.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their NBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
All right, we're back. Now, we're going to introduce a lot of different benchmarks, I think, for the podcast, Kelly. And so you, this episode, it is the first one that we're unveiling a couple of these other things. And there's a lot of awards, but I think the rookies are a lot more fun to keep track of. So right now, we're going to play some fancy sound. I can't wait for this. This is why I'm a production nerd, because I used to be a producer, so I do like these sort of things. As we take a look at the rookies and what they've done up to this point.
Rookie Report.
All right, rookie report, Paolo Banchero is where we're going to start. Now the favorite to win the award at DraftKings, Kelly, minus 140. For those who don't know, that's an implied probability of 58.3%. This is where I wanted to start. I put this in the notes, and so I will just ask the question the way I posed it. There is no way he should be favored by this much right now, right?
Not at all. Not, like, it's obscene. And it's funny because it's... I'm so glad you put this in here, because it's not even something I've checked, you know what I mean, in the first 2 weeks, right? It's like, I don't know. I don't need to go check in on Rookie of the Year odds, really. How much of a swing could there possibly be? Oh, wait, all the way down to minus 140? It's absurd. It's unbettable. I hate to say words like that, but that is it is not something that anybody should bet right now. At minus 140, no way. There's way too much season to play. There's injuries that's going to happen, and all these teams are going to be changing a ton over the next several months. It's an absurd number. Now, does it bring some value to the rest of the guys in this market? Right. I think that's probably where we want to go from here. But yeah, I think that minus 140 is just. Banchero's been amazing. I expect him to have a big year. Yes, he should be the front runner to win this award, but not by this much.
So, and you're right, because Paolo Banchero, if you look at his game logs, and he set some sort of record, consecutive 20-point games to start his career. It has not been done, at least the way that you can tell I was really into the stat because I remember it. But he has scored 20-plus points in his first five games of his career, and that has been done, we'll call it, very few times. But the reason why I wanted to bring this up and talk about this is because you hit it on the head. The fact that Banchero is now an odds-on favorite does open the board for a couple of guys. We can go to, like, Benedict Mathurin, who has been absolutely fantastic. If you look at some of his shooting numbers, right now, second most three-point attempts among rookies behind Jabari Smith Jr. He's shooting, though, 38.7%, Mathurin is. He's averaging 20.8 points per game. He's been awesome for the Indiana Pacers. He has picked up right where he left off. I got to watch him up close in summer league. He's been absolutely tremendous. But for me, what I have watched up to this point, Kelly, and you mentioned that you were with me, so I'm assuming that you watched just like I did the last couple of nights. Jabari Smith Jr. stuck out quite a bit in those two games against the Utah Jazz, and his numbers by no means are awful. Right now, I got him at 14.2 points, 7.4 rebounds per game. They're asking him to do quite a bit defensively and getting him involved with a lot of these plays. He brings the ball up the court. He's got the ball in his hands quite a bit. His defense is translating to the NBA. You know, you don't really like a lot of, like, the giving him the ball and letting him work in isolation. He's not much of a shot creator yet. But he really, I thought, out of all the players in those games, in those two games that I watched between the Jazz and the Rockets, he jumped off the screen, I thought, quite a bit. And I was pretty impressed with him, especially after what happened in summer league, where he was kind of to start his summer league career. He's at 16-1 at DraftKings. He's got to shop around for a number, but, like, that's a guy I think that sticks out to me that might be the benefit of a very watered down price on Paolo Banchero.
Yeah, that's a big number on him. You can't knock that one at all. I think you laid it out well. One of the first things I go to look for when I'm looking at Rookie of the Year stuff is we always know that the scorers are going to stand out, right? Like that is so right. Often who this award goes to is just really who is the rookie who scored the most, scored the best, during their rookie season. And this early in the season, all I'm looking at is field goal attempts, right? But he's a little over 13 field goal attempts per game right now. But like you said, he's having averaging over 7 rebounds. I think there's definitely some value there on a 16-1. I mean, look, Mathurin and Keegan Murray being at the odds that they're at, I think is fair, because again, you go and look at that and just how much how much they're shooting the ball. I mean, Keegan Murray's 16 three attempts in just, you know, two games. You know, I think that's something to keep an eye on. We've obviously seen Mathurin heavily involved in this offense. You know, 27, 25, 31, 28, 28 minutes per game. That's big. And then averaging 15 field goal attempts per game, you know, with 20, you know, averaging over 20 points per game right now. I think that's huge. So I wouldn't even have a problem with people taking, you know, one of those guys at the prices they're at. I think the one I wanted to bring up with you, and I'm not running to bet any of those, I think, right now, but it's obviously interesting to keep your eye on how these numbers do adjust, because you just blew my mind a little bit. That Banchero was all the way down to -140 already this early into the season. So who knows? Maybe that number keeps climbing, and you're going to get even longer a number on some of these other guys. The one guy I want to bring up, who it's not like he's had a stellar start to the season or anything, but if Dame Lillard misses some time,
it's
even more time than we think it is. Shaedon Sharpe, the guy we all had the question marks about heading into the draft, how good could this kid be in the NBA? 45-1. That's a long number on a guy that you know. I mean, I can tell you pretty confidently right now, JVT, that number's only going to get shorter over the next week. So I think if this might be a buy point for him. If you were interested in betting him in this market preseason, I think this could be a buy point right now with Lillard heading to the bench, for at least a game. But we think it's going to be a little bit more than that even. You know, he got 21 minutes last night against Miami, 5-for-12 from the field. But those minutes are going to go up without Lillard in the lineup. So that's an interesting one to me. I'm not running to bet it yet, but I just think there was a lot of buzz for him, right, coming into the season, not fully knowing what he was going to be as an NBA prospect in this rookie season. But if Dame's on the bench, this guy's going to get just as much action as some of these other guys that we're talking about.
Dude, the other night, I think it was the Miami game, might have been the Nuggets game, I can't remember. Either one of those two contests, he went up for a layup, Kelly, and he's so explosive, he jumped too high and almost smacked his head on the backboard and, like, had to adjust midair and totally messed up his shot. Like, he was too explosive to the point where he screwed up his own shot at the basket. But, like, that's kind of what you're watching. Like, there's times where he looks like the smoothest dude on the court. I like, that's a really good one, and I am with you. I think you can sit back and wait. It might just – I don't know what's going to happen with his role, because, like you mentioned, the minutes haven't been up there. But he's got the potential, man. Like, I think they did a really good job of, like, grabbing him. Because I think I told you that story. That one summer league shot will live in infamy in my brain, because I saw him hit that shot from the baseline right in front of me and then go to the locker room and get injured. And I was so intrigued. I want to see more of him. He looks crazy good. So I would agree with that. Yeah, I'm going to definitely watch him.
Yeah, if there was one, like, if we had to make a bet right now on this show, this market, that's the bet I would actually be making.
Yep,
To take a shot at the longer shot and see where it goes over the next couple weeks of Dame.
For those who don't know, too, by the way, to run through the rookie leaders right now, at least in terms of points per game: Paolo Banchero, 24 points per game; Benedict Mathurin at 20.8; Keegan Murray at 17.5. But Murray's only gotten into two games so far. Ivy with Jaden Ivy, and that's one we should talk about too, really quickly, because Ivy's been really good so far. Jaden Ivy at 16 points, 4 rebounds, and 5.5 assists per game. He has looked like a perfect fit there in Detroit, and it's fit really well with him. And then, of course, Jabari Smith at 14-7. There are actually right now only 5 rookies who are averaging double-digit points. And I will bring I'll bring in two big guys, because big guys never get any credit, but I'll bring two forwards here that deserve some love with the way that they have been playing. And one of them I have an 80-1 ticket on. But Jalen Duren has been really good. I think the Pistons have done a really good job with what they have done in terms of drafting their young guys and taking the shots that they did. And Jalen Duren, of course, one of those guys looks absolutely solid so far. And Tari Eason has looked kind of solid too, man. He's averaging 7-6. We'll call it 8-6 through the early part of the season. He's been a big part of what the Rockets have been doing. They trust him on defense too, so we'll see how much that translates. But those are the notable names and some of the stats. And then the rest, it's kind of hard to get excited about some of these guys because they haven't really done much. So I think those are probably, through the first week, the guys to note.
Ivy's interesting. I guess I have a question for you. Do you think that, because I don't really know the last time that we've seen this that I can remember, but you think there's any chance that voters get distracted maybe by two good rookies on the same team, and that maybe eats votes away from each other.
Oh, I think so. I think the one thing that would work in the favor of Ivy is that he's a guard, and there are simplistic media members who can't see past guard play. You know what I mean? Like, Jalen Duren can come in, have a bigger impact, be awesome on the boards, be better defensively, have a better statistical impact. But if Ivy averages 16 and whatever, he'll get more votes because he's a guard who's averaging 16 points, you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Yep.
In other words, media members are stupid. I don't want to say it out loud, but I kind of had to do it, you know? All right.
By media members.
And, well, I'm not the super one, of course. Also worth noting, NBA.com's rookie ladder. This gives you an idea kind of where the media is at. Paolo Banchero, number one. Benedict Mathurin, number two. Jabari Smith Jr., number three. Jalen Duren, and then Jaden Ivey, 4 and 5. So to your point about rookies distracting from one another, NBA.com rookie ladder, at the very least, has the two Pistons players. And the big guy, Duren, ahead of Jaden Ivey right now. So as I say, media members are dumb. One media member says Duren's been the better rookie. So very much worth monitoring. All right. Got something new for you, tier two. Okay. I've got five kind of statistical, I will call them, I don't know if they're anomalies, whatever it is. And you're going to tell me whether these things are sustainable or unsustainable as we move forward in a brand new benchmark here on Hardwood Handicappers.
Trend or trash?
First one I have for you. Charlotte, Golden State, Memphis, and New Orleans. All 4-0 to the over this season, Kelly. Is this a trend or is it trash?
Trend.
Yeah?
Trend. I think it's maybe unfair for us to group all of them together when we talk about this going forward.
I think so, too. So you can like sort them out, like which ones you think are the ones that will stick here and the ones that maybe will fall off.
I think that Charlotte, I would expect a lot of overs out of Charlotte, Memphis, and probably New Orleans. I'd throw in there, too. I think Golden State, you know, up there right now, you just look at pure pace, right, to the top team in the league right now. You know, I think that the totals on them, I would expect to balance out more. But I mean, I think Memphis, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. out. I mean, I think between them and Charlotte, I don't know if I expect them. I mean, A, we know they play best when they're playing more up tempo. And I don't know how much defense I fully expect out of either one of those teams, throughout the season.
No, I would agree. And for Memphis, their depth keeps getting banged up. We have yet to see Danny Green. You mentioned Jaren Jackson. Zaire Williams, it was just announced that he's going to be out for the foreseeable future. And John Conchar now all of a sudden dealing with a shoulder injury. So we'll see if that kind of kills him a little bit. But I think for Memphis, and this is the reason why I wanted to bring them up too, as of Thursday night when we're recording this, 120.7 points per 100 possessions allowed in non-garbage time minutes. That is dead last in the NBA in terms of their defensive rating. It has been bad for them defensively.
I mean, they're going to be a fun team to watch this year, you know, with Ja and everything. And I think he is going to have one of those MVP type-like seasons. But, I think this could be ugly on the defensive side for a while there. So, I don't think they're going to slow down much in that department. I don't think Charlotte will. New Orleans and Golden State, I think you're going to see that balance out a bit more.
Yeah. Can I just say the one more note on Memphis, too? Remember, they lost Kyle Anderson. They lost DeAnthony Melton. Those are two important important cogs for how good they were defensively and how good they were defensively last year without Ja Morant. So those guys aren't coming back. Right, Jaren Jackson Jr. is coming back at some point. Those two aren't, and it was part of the reason why I bet this team under their win total of 51, and it's a very big reason why so far they've been so bad defensively. But I think I agree with you in all the teams. I think the one wrinkle or the fly in the ointment, I guess, if Charlotte is a team that is going to regress in terms of its scoring and pace and the points that it's giving up, it's the fact that Gordon Hayward and his bad haircut, along with Terry Rozier, have been they've been rumored to be part of some trade packages, like on the way out from Charlotte. And those are two of the guys that like give them a good boost in terms of scoring. And maybe all of a sudden they start to stink. Those two guys are gone. Their offense sucks. And maybe their defense is still terrible, but their offense can't keep up. But so far, I think you're right on with those, at least in terms of calling them a trend. All right, next up. And actually, this team's playing right now, so we'll see if this trend actually breaks, although scoring did seem to die down here in the third a little bit, but no, not so much. I bet the Clippers-Thunder game today over the total, Kelly. This Clippers team 4-0 to the under this season, though. So Clippers 4-0 to the under this season to their first four games. They're playing tonight, though. Is that a trend or trash?
I'm going to go trend, but all of these – We have to put in the caveat that we expect the sports book to adjust numbers, right?
Right. You're right, because I should say, like, that when I say trend or trash, right, I just mean, is there substance to this? Is there something here that is worth monitoring as we move forward and seeing if the books are going to adjust? I do not mean go bet every Charlotte-Memphis game over the total, right?
Yes.
This has happened. Keep an eye on it and see if the books adjust. But go ahead. Go on.
No, I think we just need to say that. But yeah, it's trend. It's trend, right? It is. I mean, when you look early on, at this team, you're talking about one of the, worst offensive teams actually in the league right now, right? 29th in points per 100 possessions over clean glass, fifth on the defensive side of the ball in that department. So, I don't think there's any reason to really think that's going to change much. This is what we expect out of the Clippers, right? I mean, they are going to be a solid defensive team who's going to do a lot of damage in the half court with Kawhi and Paul George and some of the other pieces that they have. I think you're going to see slower paced games. They're a team. Yes, that's going to play very. I expect to play very good defensive ball throughout this entirety of the season. And I expect that's why they're going to be one of the better teams in the league. But yes, they are going to be, as far as total scores go, on the lower end.
Yep. I agree with all that. Remember, too, for a good chunk of the year last year, they were well into the bottom half of the league in offensive efficiency, too. The offense has just kind of been a problem. And with Kawhi Leonard, I mean, doing this weird thing coming off the bench, I do have to note, it is kind of like, I'm always very pro player and them taking care of their bodies and whatnot. It is kind of odd that they're doing, like, they're taking it back this slow. Like, it does make me think that the ACL injury was a little bit more serious than it was initially reported. Remember, it was supposed to be a partial ACL tear, not a full one.
Right.
But the way that they're bringing him back, like, insanely slow. He didn't play tonight, even though it's not the front or back end of a back-to-back for the team.
I believe he's back in LA, right?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's a little weird. Like, I'm not gonna kill the guy. A lot of people are like, I got a lot of people in my DMs because I'm a Clipper fan, and in my mentions, like, what are they paying for? He sucks. And I'm like, I'm not gonna do that. But I just find it odd that they are handling it in this way.
Yeah, I think the most concerning part to me was just seeing. Yeah, was seeing that he needed to go back to LA and see a doctor. He wasn't even really going to, be a part of the team right now. That was the part that concerned me more than their plan of rolling him in. I mean, obviously, I was surprised by it in that first game to see him not come in until the middle of the second quarter. But I actually think that's kind of a smart plan. If that's how you're going to attack load management, instead of him having to miss a ton of games, right? You actually keep him in the flow of the offense, the defense, the team in general, and he's just coming in later in the game, therefore playing less minutes over the course of the season. I actually liked it when I first saw it and first started kind of thinking about it. But to your point, now I'm starting to wonder, okay, is there really more of a problem here that we all need to keep an eye on with this team?
All right, next one. Trend or trash? Dallas leading the league in non-garbage time offensive efficiency, 121.2 their offensive rating coming into tonight in their game with the Brooklyn Nets.
Trend. I know I should just be saying this. I know I should be firing them off rapidly here, but like, I think trend. I mean, this is a team I was higher on last year, JBT, heading into the year than I was this year. No bets for me, around this team this year. But, is it Luka Doncic and a bunch of dudes? Yes, it is. But they got a bunch of dudes that can play. And I think I was pretty high on the Christian Wood pickup, and you're really seeing that pay off.
UNLV's own Christian Wood, baby.
There you go, man. Like, I haven't seen what he's doing tonight, but, through three games – 24 points, over 24 points, over 8 rebounds a game. I think that's big, and I think he's a huge addition for this team down low. Pair him with JaVale McGee, in the front court, you got Maxi Kleber down there. There's a lot of scoring to go around. If Tim Hardaway Jr. is healthy, Spencer Dinwiddie in there, Reggie Bullock in there. I don't know, man. They might be a little bit better this year than I even expected. So I think that's going to continue.
I am I'm going to go trash. I'm going to throw it in the garbage. I just think – so the thing that has bothered me about Dallas is their roster construction, because I think you're right on all the points, right, in terms of the scoring to go around. My problem is that every person you named is not exactly outside of, like, Christian Wood and Spencer Dinwiddie. They're not shot creators. And that's what kind of, like, turned me off about Dallas coming into this year. Their guard position is kind of a little bit of a mess. Like, you even look at guys who got into this game here today. So we're talking about their starting lineup, Doncic, Dinwiddie, McGee, Bullock, Dorian Finney-Smith, and then coming off of their bench, Kleba, Tim Hardaway, Chris Wood, and Green. Josh Green or Jalen Green? Josh Green, right, I think. I always forget his first name. Yeah. Who's the playmaking guard outside of the two that we know? That's what kind of worries me over the large sample size of what this offense is going to look like is – unless Luka Doncic is going to have that MVP type year, which is very possible, I think that this offense is going to hit a wall at some point. It's great that they've gone off here, but we kind of saw them hit that wall a little bit when they blew that game against the Phoenix Suns, right? I think that kind of worries me when we're moving forward with what this team is going to be offensively. Like, right now, even in the fourth quarter, there's 3:11 left. I haven't watched the second of this game. I'm going to watch it later tonight. They've only got 16 points in this fourth quarter, and Brooklyn's taking the lead right now. Like, that's what kind of worries me about Dallas. So I'm going to go trash. I think – I'm not going to say they're abhorrent offensively, but I think that they're going to fall down the standings a little bit. All right, another one to get to. We'll move a little bit quicker here. I'll eliminate the last one in the sake for time. But I have one more I wanted to ask you because I think this is important to note. Boston, 23rd in non-garbage time defensive efficiency. 117.8 per 100 possessions allowed. Trend or trash?
Trash. This is not something that's going to happen, throughout the season. Obviously, missing Robert Williams is massive.
Yeah, I'm going to interrupt you. I think it's a trend for that reason. It is a trend until Robert Williams comes back. How's that?
Sure. Yeah, I think you could say it like that. Yeah, I think depending on how people view these teams, I also think you need to look at who they played. I mean, Philadelphia, Miami, Orlando, Chicago, it's not exactly – not exactly the greatest teams in the league, but they're also that's not an easy, an easy four teams to get on to start the season off against either. So, yes, I think that I understand what you're saying, and I think I would say that as well. Until he gets back, this could be an issue. I expect this to come down even with Robert Williams still out of the lineup.
Yep.
So another one we disagree on.
All right, kick him off the show. He's not allowed on the podcast anymore. This is Stephen. Please make a note. This is the last one with Kelly. You can limit out production. All right, before we get out of here, my last trend or trash is going to be New York ranking fifth in bench scoring. I'll say really quickly, I think that's a trend. I love this bench. I love the young pieces they have. I think this is going to be a legitimately good unit. Really quickly, would you agree? Yes or no?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. I like this New York team. They are part of, before we get out of here, our quick Friday look ahead. I will give you the floor. It's a full slate on Friday. For some reason, Wizards-Pacers has a primetime game. But among the top games we're going to see on Friday, Cleveland on the road against Boston. I cannot wait to watch that. Philly will take on Toronto once more. New York at Milwaukee all of a sudden becomes really intriguing given how good this bench has been for the Knicks, as we discussed. Uh-huh. And then New Orleans at Phoenix loses a little bit of intrigue if the Pelicans are not going to be at full strength, but still an intriguing game nonetheless. Friday, anything stick out to you?
Yeah, I'll definitely be monitoring the injury statuses for the Pelicans, because that is a side I could be interested in. The one bet I already have written down for tomorrow is Jared Allen over rebounds either rebounds or points and rebounds. I'm going to play that. With them at Boston. That's something I have been attacking early on here in the season. Actually, John, meant to bring this up to you. I was tracking this earlier. Up until the night, I think my Warriors bet tonight now ties it, at least, that I have made as many player prop bets on rebounding props, player props, as I have on all other bets combined. I think it's the state of the NBA where you have some teams with these true, true centers and then other teams that have nothing really up front. You know what I mean? And there's so I feel like some of the sportsbook numbers have not quite caught up just to realizing some of these mismatches. So it's a market I've been picking on pretty heavily to begin the season and having a lot of success in it because the rest of my bets have been kind of up and down here to start the year. So that's what I've already got circled. We see Jared Allen have a couple pretty big games the last couple games with the deficiencies the Celtics have down low. Al Horford's still dealing with an injury. Yes, he'll play, but he's kind of been playing through it. No Robert Williams. I like that matchup down low. For Jared Allen in that game. So that's a bet I'm going to be making. Trying to think. I'm with you. If that Knicks number, if I can catch a seven and I think I might see one in town, that I think that's going to be a bet for me tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Bucks on the front end of a back-to-back, I believe. Yeah, they've got the Hawks on Saturday. I like that one at seven or more.
It's funny. I've been told I'm very anti New York, which I am. I mean, New York can get over itself. The city's not as cool as it thinks it is. and the franchises have been largely outside of the Yankees jokes in almost every single sport. I won't speak for hockey because I don't really watch hockey. Although the Rangers, they made a run last year, so I won't make fun of them.
They got good goaltenders.
That's right. They do. But no, I like this Knicks team a lot, and they're really fun to watch. Their bench is super cool. It's super young. It's hip, as the kids would say. But I'm with you. If that number starts climbing, one overnight flashed at 7.5. But sometimes you get these weird, like shops will take their positions and then they'll like move pretty quickly. So we did see a rogue 7.5 flash on the board, but 6.5 dominating right now. We'll see if that 7.5 pops up. I'm with you. I'm going to sit back, see what the market does. If this continues to climb, remember, Milwaukee's still, their top three small forwards are all still out. And they have had some rough offensive outings early in this season. So I would agree with you. And I want to see what happens with this, as we mentioned at the top, Houston-Portland game, because there's a six out there. There's also fives out there. So I want to see what the market does with no Damian Lillard and the disrespected Houston Rockets after a two-game set with the Utah Jazz.
You got the Knicks plus 7 at Boyd right now. So that's actually up in town. But just watching the market, and these are obviously very, very early on, us recording this at, this is not 9:51 Eastern time right now, 6:51 Pacific. A lot of these openers just coming out. But I'm seeing even just at William Hill/Caesars, this just ticked up from 6 to 6.5. So I'm going to hold off for now. I'm going to try not to make the same mistake I made with the Rockets the other day. And we'll see where this goes because it looks like it's only going up right now. But I think it's 7 or more. That's a fair play on the Knicks.
You and I both, my friend. I got a couple of hey, great call on the Rockets and the market being wrong. It was a great call if I got the right number. I'm glad you did.
So, right, yeah.
exactly. Hey, at least you guys are reading the reports. I appreciate it. By the way, speaking of, VSiN.com/JVT, daily market reports all the way through the NBA season's end. I got the official verdict from up top every day. So every single day of the NBA regular season, those will be up there on the website, VSiN.com/JVT. And remember, like, rate, review, subscribe. Before we get out of here, do you have anything else for the people, Kelly Bidlin?
No, I don't. But check out those daily articles from JVT. You get them nice and early in the morning. I like it. I've checked them out the past couple days. Great stuff from you, my friend.
Do you like the daily recaps? Because I think my favorite part of writing those are the daily recaps and including like little tweets and videos. The other day, I don't know if you saw it. So Ed Malloy kicked out Klay Thompson out of a game. And then I got to pull the YouTube clip and put it in the daily write-up of, do you remember the Timberwolves game? Ed Malloy! Great YouTube clip.
It is. Oh, right. Man. Good stuff.
All right, check them out, VSiN.com/JVT. For Kelly, myself, Steven, thank you very much. We will be back early next week as part of Hardwood Handicappers. Talk to you then.